Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Lawrence Van Beek.
Yes. Yes. It rolls off the tongue, so to speak, doesn't it?
I hope so. I hope, yeah. I think I'm too sleepy to be doctor tonight.
Okay. Well, I would say that you're fairly active. A vigorous man, I say.
Vigorous 66. That's what I...
my friend, speaking about someone who's vigorous, we're going to continue our journeys with Paul, aren't we?
Yes. Oh, yes. And he's gonna just rehash the point from last chapter and continue to press his advantage.
Nicely done. So folks, if you're playing the At Home edition, we're in Galatians 3. Anything else you want to say about the chapter, bud?
No, I think we'll get it as we go through. Okay. He's going back to Abraham,
yeah,
which is kind of nice. Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation.
Yes.
And when you go back to the father, you always go back to Abraham.
Yeah. He had 7 sons, I hear.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
And 7 sons had Father Abraham.
And I am one of them, and so are you, which makes no sense at all.
Yeah, it's kind of a complete misreading of scripture, but carry on.
I don't know where the 7 sons, anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to take us off track.
That's okay, because you fit right in with you foolish Galatians.
All right, with that lovely segue, which I applaud Dr. Van Beek heartily for those of you playing the at-home edition, Galatians 3, verse 1. I almost forgot what chapter we were on, and I had said it already. Wow. Have another drink of coffee, Steve. Let's do this. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ is clearly betrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by a means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? So Abraham also believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Yeah.
Slap me again.
And the word bewitched always makes me think, doo-doo-doo-doo.
Tabitha, Darren. You have to be watching TVs from the 60s, folks, to get that illusion.
Is it that old? Is it 60s?
Yeah,
is it
late 60s.
Oh, my. Yeah. So anyway, who has bewitched you? He says, Jesus was crucified and you received the Spirit. So he's saying is, you got the Spirit when you became Christians. And now you want to go back and follow the law again. He says, this is kind of crazy. That's really, have you experienced all of these things in vain that you want to go back and follow the law? So these Judaizers have convinced these people, to start following the law again. So that's what they've gone back to do, and I could see the argument. They'll go back to the Old Testament and say, yep, look, this is what it says. We need to be doing this. And you're going, well, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We need to be doing it. Yeah. And Paul's saying, you don't need to be doing this. You just don't. He said, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham didn't have the law, but when he believed God, God credited righteousness to him, right?
Yeah. I love that verse 5, the first part of it, right, where he says, so again I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by works of the law? Like,
yeah,
it's his Spirit that does it. But no, sure, if you want to go back to rules and hope that some miracle happens from the rules, sure, go for it. I just love Paul just slap.
Well, yeah, and rules make sense. And even to people now, rules make sense.
Yeah.
Even for Christians, am I going to church? Am I reading my Bible?
Right.
If these are rules, they make sense to you.
Yeah.
I've had people say, I didn't read my Bible today. No wonder I had such a bad day. Well, that probably isn't really that strong relationship between those two things.
That's a very true. Go ahead.
You should be reading your Bible every day.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a very transactional way to think that God blesses, right? Like if I do, if I check all the things, God will bless me.
Yeah. Yeah. Check the boxes.
Yeah. And yet we do believe that God blesses us when we're obedient too.
Yes.
Oh, never mind.
And yet that's not wrong, right?
You know? Oh, never mind. Let's move on. Oh, that's great. That's great. Verse 7. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance of Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith.
Yeah, and he's going to mention just in the next section that, or very soon, he's going to say Abraham came way before the law. Mm. So there was like 430 years between Abraham and Moses giving of the law is what Paul says in this chapter. Yeah. And so those were years, and there were still laws that Abraham followed. There were the Noahide laws and other things that Abraham followed, which is interesting because in Acts, when he says this is all I expect of the Gentiles, he actually goes back to the Noahide laws. Hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of intriguing as well.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. And I actually just remembered when you said Noahite what that refers to. I was like, oh right, I remember that.
Oh yeah, the Noah stuff.
Yeah, the Noah stuff. It was right. It's right. The name. It's like kilometer. It means a thousand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I should have.
No. Oh, you did fine. It took me a while because I'm dumb. It took me a while to catch up with you. verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He has redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, I should say it, right? So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Yeah, and pretty soon he's going to say the law is a guide. And there's other places. Here he'll say the law is a guide. And another book he'll say the law was a teacher. Hmm. And he said the purpose of the law was only to show us that we could not live by the law. We could not fulfill. And I keep forgetting how many there were. There were 600 and it's either 630 or 660, but it's a little over 600 laws that the Jewish people had to follow.
Right.
And he was saying, what you find from the law is that you can't follow the law.
Right.
Like in your life, you're going to eventually break one of these laws.
Yeah, it's a matter of when.
Yeah, that's the whole point. What were you going to say?
Well, it's just a matter of when, right? It's not a matter if.
Yeah. Everybody broke the law sometimes. And you know, you do well to keep all the laws, but you can't. And so he said, that's why Christ became a curse for us. Cursed is everyone who's hung on a pole. They think that's from Deuteronomy 21, 22, 23. And really that just says, you know, the evildoer should be hung. But don't leave them. It basically just says, you know, you got to hang them, but don't leave them overnight. You got to, it just, you know, make sure you take them down so that you don't leave them there all night. And funny that Paul picks that up and ties it to Christ.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting hermeneutic. The way, when you watch the way the disciples, the apostles, the writers of the New Testament, when you watch the way they handled the Old Testament, the way they tied things forward to Jesus, many of my teachers would have failed them in their classes if they did that kind of stuff. Yeah. But we allow them to do it, you know, since it's by the Spirit of God they spoke. So
we'll let it go. We'll let it go.
Yeah. It's sort of like in my classes, they would always say a parable is a story with many factors, but it only had one meaning. And every time Jesus explains a parable, he always has many meanings.
Yeah. You know? Except Jesus, because he invented the genre. He can do what he wants.
That's right. It's his parable. He can do what he wants. But you can.
Yeah, that's right. Verse 15 now, folks. Brothers and sisters, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside or add any human covenant that has been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises that were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, Scripture does not say and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person, who is Christ.
Yeah, this one too. I think if I was sitting there, I'd be arguing with him. Come on, you know. To Abraham's seed could have been many as well as one. But it makes his point so nicely that he was saying that Jesus was the point of this passage.
Right. In Greek, would it have been the same thing? Like, because the English word seed can mean one or many. You wouldn't say there's a whole bunch of seeds over there. You'd say there's some seed over there.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about I'm not sure exactly how it was put in the Septuagint. Yeah, I'd have to check that out.
Okay, interesting. Verse 17. What I mean is this. The law, introduced 430 years later, like Larry emphasized, does not set aside the covenant previously established by God and thus do away with the promise. For if the inheritance depends on the law, then it no longer depends on the promise, but God in his grace gave it to Abraham through a promise.
Yeah, so there was no law for 430 years after Abraham. There were laws.
Right.
There were laws, and Abraham followed the laws of the day. But there wasn't this specific law given to Moses by God.
Hmm.
You know? Like, there was the code of Hammurabi and Hammurabi and those guys. And they found all these different laws from the different ancient peoples. But he's speaking specifically of this law given to Moses. The one that guided the Israelites from Moses' time onward. Interesting that he picked up 430 years from Abraham to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe the young earth people can take that and then keep going back from there and figure out their stuff, which was from what Bishop Usher Usher was the bishop that decided the earth was 6,000 years old by doing the genealogies in the Bible.
Mm.
But we say the problem with that is those genealogies, like they're not specific to generation. They could skip many, many generations.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of other ways of looking at it too, that it's very poetic, a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, he says, so Abraham established this and there was the promise and the inheritance, if it doesn't depend upon the law, because Abraham didn't have the law. And he was considered righteous.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Verse
19. Jesus came from Abraham.
Yeah, yeah. Verse 19. Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise deferred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked everything up under the control of sin, so that it was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might it be given to those who believe.
Yeah, so he says, obviously, this stuff can't come through the law, that righteousness comes by faith. And by the way, a little earlier on, he used that expression, the righteous shall live by faith, which is Habakkuk 2:4. And that is used a few times here and there.
Okay.
But they figure it comes from Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith.
Mm.
So just and righteous are the same word.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Nice. Okay, verse 23 now. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we may be justified by faith. Now that this law, now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So,
yeah,
go ahead.
There's the word guardian, remember?
Yeah.
The law is a guardian. The law is just looking after you for this period of time. And in the other place, he says the law is a teacher.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
But it's through the Spirit that you receive salvation.
Yeah. 26 now, folks. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female. For you...
Yeah, fits perfectly with today's...
I was expecting it to say male or female, and it's male and female. So that's why I was kind of stumbling through it, because I had what I had in my head, but that's what...
Anyway,
for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
And that's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? That in the gospel, we are all the same. Mm. You know, all men were created equal, and then some became Marines. I think that's the way their thing goes. But here he says all people are equal.
Yeah.
No matter what your sex, what your stage in life is, you know, what your job is, what your race is,
yeah.
we're all completely equal in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. So the scripture had this way before, before anybody else did, I think.
Yeah. 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 I wonder why, you know, that Martin Luther King's speech, right, just picks up that same vision, you know. Here we all, you know, all people join hands singing the Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, free at last, right? And that same sense that here we all are equal before the throne, free at last.
Yeah, and if we were preachers instead of just Bible guys, you know, we would say, whatever you've done, you know, wherever you are, when you accept Christ as your Savior, it all starts brand new, and we're all on a level playing field.
Right.
Which is really wonderful.
It is a wonderful thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Folks, that's a great place to leave it. Here we are. Paul's begging us to say, why return to a rules-based system when you can just come to the grace of Christ and then be obedient to him? I tried to figure that out earlier from when we were talking about that. Anyway, good luck, everyone. No. But my friend, that was fantastic. A fantastic eye-opening thing of Paul just cracking this up for us. Why? Would you want to go back? Folks, as always, we're so happy to be with you. So thankful to do this each and every week. We'll be back again next week with Galatians 4. But until then, I was Steve. He was Larry. And this was the Apocalypse.